Thank you for joining us for the CMC Weekly Podcast. God has a fulfilling and rewarding life for you as you pursue His plan with all of your heart. Our prayer is that you'll find direction and wisdom as you connect with us through our weekly podcast. Join us now for a message from Pastor Tim Brooks.
Well, it's 15 days from Christmas. Who just panicked? If there is a man sitting next to you, he didn't panic and he needed to. Would you tell him that he only has 14 more days till his shopping day on Christmas Eve? So, there's a lot of pressure. There's just a lot of pressure on people. Who got you a present last year and you didn't get them one? And now you've been trying to remember, I got to get them a present this year. I got to get them a present this year. And now you already forgot who it was that got you that present. I mean, who got you something really, really nice last year, and you remember them opening a present from you, and it was a $1.25 handkerchief, and they opened you over a big present they got you, but you got to really do something about that, and oh my gosh, only 14 days until Christmas Eve, oh my goodness. I mean, there's a lot of pressure on people, but really, it's needless pressure, very needless, because we've had 365 days that we've been knowing this is coming. 365 days. And for those who have been caught off guard, Christmas is just snuck up on me. Seriously? Walmart started putting out Christmas trees in August, for crying out loud. I mean, I'm in there trying to buy me a bathing suit, and they got the Christmas decorations already up, and all the summer stuff is on the shelf. There's been plenty of clues for you to know that the birth of Jesus was happening. The title of today's message is Don't Ignore the Signs. Don't ignore the signs. Men, as you race out the door on Christmas Eve at about 5 o'clock, knowing the stores close at 6, to get your wife something, here's what she thinks. Let me just, as pastor, give you a little clue. She's thinking, you shopped for camo. You shopped for ammo. You shopped for deer corn. You had deer stand construction in the carport, in the front yard, the backyard. All your deer stuff has been all over the house. And deer season has never caught you off guard. You prepared for months before it ever got here. You know, it's not that you didn't know that Christmas was coming. It's not that you haven't seen signs and clues all around you. It's simply that you chose to turn a blind eye and ignore the obvious signs that Christmas was coming. You have had to completely ignore the signs that Christmas was coming. Before we get too hard on the men here for ignoring the signs that Christmas was coming, they're not the only ones to completely ignore obvious signs. The truth is, there was a world full of people that completely missed the first Christmas. As we have nativity scenes set up in our home, Terry sets one to the side of the fireplace, and when I'm down there by myself early in the morning, and I sit in the rocking chair right in front of that nativity scene. It's got a little dim light in the top of it, and I stare at that nativity scene. I've been doing that for the last couple of weeks, just staring for a few minutes each morning at that nativity scene. And I'm overcome with God sending His Son in the form of a human being, that God lowered Himself to take on the form of humanity, and then for God to be laying in a barn, in a stable, in a manger, for God, not in a palace, not in the Trump Towers with the gold all around it, but in a manger, for God to be in a manger. I'm overcome with that. Last week I was down here on the highway working and finishing up putting our nativity scene. How many of you drive by at night, the lighted nativity scene? Do you enjoy that? Have you enjoyed the nativity? Look at all, yeah, you bet. As I was down, I just sat back, and I stared at that nativity scene. And I think about this the last few weeks. I think about who was next door to the stable. Who was right across the street from the stable that totally missed the first Christmas. Let me just tell you, stables were not way out in the country somewhere like they are today. Stables were not for a very few ranchers who lived way out in the country. I want to remind you, stables were a carport. Now think about where carports are. Don't think about a barn out here in the middle of nowhere for ranchers. Think about a carport for the hotel owner. As a matter of fact, the stable is where everybody kept their milk and their eggs. Fresh. You didn't go to the refrigerator, but you went out to the stable twice a day to get your milk and eggs right out of the spigot. So, I mean, it's where they keep their milk, where they keep their eggs, and where they park their car. That's right there. Right. The stable wasn't way off out here. It was right there. Right there in town. Right by the Marriott. Right there. How did Jesus' birth happen and so many people miss it? The title of today's message is Don't Ignore the Signs. Don't ignore the signs. The truth is, there was no reason for anyone not knowing about the first Christmas. There was no reason for anyone missing being a character in the nativity scene. Many had the opportunity to be kneeling around that manger. Only a few, because everybody else put a blind eye and ignored the signs. Genesis chapter 3. From Genesis chapter 3 forward, God told Eve in Genesis chapter 3, he told Satan that the seed of a woman was going to get him. I mean, God began to tell about Jesus coming starting in Genesis chapter 3. God spoke through Moses 1,400 years before Jesus' birth that the Savior of the world would be born of a woman, a descendant of Abraham. The prophet Isaiah, 740 years before Jesus was born, clearly stated that the Messiah would be a descendant of David. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14 says the Messiah would be born of a virgin. Micah 700 years before Jesus, in chapter 5, Micah says that the Savior of the world would be born in the insignificant town of Bethlehem. On and on and on. More than 40 clear prophecies recorded about Jesus, hundreds of years before he came. Before his birth, it was told that his childhood would be spent in Egypt, that he would ride in Jerusalem triumphantly on a colt of a donkey, that men would gamble for his clothes, on and on and on. I think as I stare at that nativity scene all the time, if all of the people in that day had been students of the word, had God's word in their heart, they would have been in that nativity scene today. Don't ignore the signs and miss your place at the nativity. God clearly gave direction. Here's what's coming. Here's how you handle it. Here's what he will do. And what I think of the star, and as I'm sitting there sipping my coffee, staring at that nativity scene, I think of the star. I think of the star. In our production, the star was up on the screen over the stable. And let me just say something about stars. Maybe you're into looking at stars, maybe you're not. But at this day and time, they didn't have GPSs and they didn't have Siri to tell them where to go. They stared at the stars all the time. The stars were the way they got from here to there. Everybody in the world, from the smallest in the world, grew up reading the stars and charting, whether you were on the ocean, whether you were in the desert, whether you were in the woods. It didn't matter where you were. They didn't have maps that lined out your travels. You traveled by stars and by the sun. Stars were in everybody's mind and in everybody's focus. And here is this bright star. Hey, let me tell you, you had to completely ignore the signs and continue to do your own thing. Sound familiar? Don't ignore the signs and you miss being in the nativity scene. God doesn't pull surprises. He doesn't pull tricks. God doesn't throw us out in the deep water just to see if we can swim and watch us struggle. He tells us that difficult times will come, and he tells us how to navigate through those. Here's what I want you to get. Get this today. As I stared for the last couple of weeks at that nativity scene, here's what's come to my mind. For those few, very few figures in that nativity scene, for those few who knew the word, number one, they knew the word. For those few who, number two, while they were at work doing their daily routine, they still heard from God. They still, not in a worship service somewhere, while they were out doing what they do for a living, they heard God's voice. Number one, they knew the word. Number two, they heard God's voice. And number three, those that were kneeling in that nativity scene stopped their schedule, stopped their agenda, stopped their plans, and followed the leading of the Holy Spirit. And because they did those three things, 2017 years later, they are still in the nativity scene today. Don't ignore the signs and you miss being in the nativity. I've been thinking of all of the thousands that at that time were church people. I've been thinking about all of the thousands that at that time were church people, were very religious people that did not know the word, that did not listen to God when he spoke, and that refused to walk away from their busy schedule and their agenda. And here, God laid the gift of salvation in that manger. Right here, God laid in that manger the answer to their worries, the answer to their fears, the answer to their questions, the answer to their stress. God laid in that manger the peace and the joy in life that they were looking for. But they were too busy with their own agenda and their own schedule, and they missed being in the nativity scene. They missed it. They missed it. Those very, very few who knew the word, who listened to God when he spoke, and who stopped their agenda and followed the leading of the Holy Spirit, those were kneeling at that manger, flooded with peace, flooded with joy. The joy of the Lord, the Bible talks about. The peace that comes from his presence filled their lives. My sermon today: don't ignore the signs and miss your place at the manger. Well, Tim, things are just tough for me right now. I'm just going through it. Tim, my family has trouble. Or Tim, my money is tight. Or I've just lost this. And Tim, I've lost my job. You think you're the only one in the world, but that's been the story of people's lives for 2,000 years. Those who put the word of God together and acted on it were kneeling around the manger, worshiping the birth of the Savior of the world. Those who did not know the word and did not act on the word were at home fighting with their wife, yelling at their teenager, under stress at work, worried over the economy, worried over the government of Rome, crying over their personal loss, by themselves lonely, wherever they were, jerked up and worried and in stress, and they missed right down the road everything in life they were looking for. In the early mornings before daylight, as I'm having coffee, just a very few lights on, I'm staring at one of Terry's nativity scenes by the fireplace. And I've been overwhelmed the last few weeks at how peaceful it is. I want to challenge you. Sometime very soon, get by yourself, turn out all the lights, light you a little candle or something dim like the lighting of that day would be. Sit there and you stare at the nativity scene. It's amazing the peace that will flood your heart just from that nativity scene, because the presence of God brings peace and brings joy. Now, here's the point of today's message. I want you to get this. If you think the shepherds had no worries in their personal life, you're dead wrong. Do you know that the shepherds were worried about sheep prices? Do you know the shepherds were worried sick about the wool prices this next year? Do you know that the shepherds had to deal with the taxes and the percentage of taxation from the Roman government over their wool and over their meat producing sheep? Do you know that the shepherds were worried sick over the availability of grazing land? Do you know that the shepherds were worried sick? If it doesn't rain, we're going to have a drought and I'll have no place to water my sheep. Then what will happen to my family? Then what will... Do you know that the shepherds were consumed in a battle over grazing rights with their competition, and that their competition was infringing on them, and they were in a battle over their competition, over who was going to have access to the water hole? Do you think for 1 minute that the shepherds didn't have teenagers in their home? Well, let me just tell you what I thought about the other morning as I was drinking my coffee, staring at the nativity scene. I thought, dear Lord, you're having problems with teenagers in your 4,000 square foot home. Try living with a teenager in a tent. Oh, the shepherds had their hands full. They were in a tent, in a one room tent with a teenager. Oh, mercy. You think your teenager won't clean his room? Try living in a tent with him. You got any idea how a shepherd smelled when he walked into that tent? And here's what he got. All you ever do is come in here with them stinky clothes on and you just throw them down the floor. And I got to carry those clothes. I got to walk all the way down that creek and I got to bang your clothes on the rock. And if you would just stand upwind from those stinky sheep instead of downwind from those sheep, then you wouldn't come in here with stinky clothes on. But you don't care about me. No, you don't care about me and how you smell. If you would just stand upwind instead of downwind, then I would... I was thinking about that as I was just staring at that nativity scene. All that they were getting when they brought them stinky clothes in. Those kneeling shepherds were consumed with pressure and stress and worry and conflict. But when they became a part of the nativity scene, with all the stress in their life, with all of the pressure in their life, when those shepherds became a part of that nativity scene, peace flooded their hearts. In the midst of the hell in their life that was going on. The other day, staring at that nativity scene, I started thinking about those wise men. I started thinking about those wise men and their personal life. I don't know if you ever picked up on this in the story, but it was enacted in our production. King Herod called those wise men in for a private meeting and interrogated them. Do you have any idea the stress that those men were under? Matthew 2:7 says, King Herod called for a private meeting with the wise men and interrogated them, and he lied to them about his intentions. Just FYI, do you know what King Herod did on a whim to people he was frustrated with? Cut your head off. Cut your head off. That's what he did, just at whims when folks didn't suit him. He cut their head off. And those wise men went to Bethlehem with the pressure of being beheaded. They were threatened with the pressure of being beheaded. And that's what's in the back of their mind. And in verse 10 it says, when they saw the star, they were filled with joy. And they entered the house and saw Jesus. And they bowed down and worshiped him and gave him gifts. As we read that story year in and year out, I want you not to just bypass so much of the story that may or may not be spelled out for you, but I want you to know what the shepherds were going through in their worries and their fears and their business and what was pressuring them. I want you to know the stress and the pressure and the worry and the fear that the wise men were going through. The last few weeks as I've stared at that nativity scene, just stories and stories begin to flood my head about what those individual people were going through as they bowed down and worshiped him. And it says they were filled with joy. And today, if you won't ignore the signs, if you won't ignore the signs, and if you will make your way to the manger, regardless of what you're personally going through, regardless of the stress and the pressure and the family dynamics and the finances and your health situation, regardless of what you're going through, you can experience the peace and the joy that those few experienced when they knelt at that manger. Look at all of the signs that were missed, ignored, brushed aside, and all of those people consumed with their worries and fears, stresses and pressures, and they missed the presence of God just down the road laying in a manger. There were some, very few in our nativity scene, wise men who put their worries about their rent aside, who put the worries over their bills, who put their troubles, who put their stress, who put their fear of being beheaded aside. There were a few, just a few shepherds, who put their worry over the sheep, their concern about the drought, their fear of sheep prices, their fear of a hard winter, and they put all that aside. And those shepherds and those few wise men experienced peace and joy. They experienced peace and joy. Matthew chapter 2. Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the reign of King Herod. About that time, some wise men from eastern lands arrived in Jerusalem. They were asking, "Where is the newborn king of the Jews? We saw his star as it arose, and we have come to worship him." King Herod was deeply disturbed when he heard this, as was everyone in Jerusalem. He called a meeting of the leading priests and teachers of religious law and asked, "Where is the Messiah supposed to be born?" "In Bethlehem of Judea," they said, "for this is what the prophets wrote. And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not least among the ruling cities of Judah, for a ruler will come for you, who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." Then Herod called for a private meeting with the wise men, and he learned from them the time when the star first appeared. Then he told them, "Go to Bethlehem and search carefully for the child. When you find him, come back and tell me so that I can go and worship him too." After this interview, the wise men went their way, and the star they had seen in the east guided them to Bethlehem. And it went ahead of them and stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were filled with joy. They entered the house and saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. They opened their treasure chest and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Luke chapter 2. And while they were there, the time for her baby to be born, she gave birth to her first child, a son. And she wrapped him in snugly strips of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no lodging available for them. That night, there were shepherds staying in fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them, and they were terrified. But the angel reassured them. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news. It'll bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah of the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped in snuggling strips of cloth lying in a manger." Suddenly the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to those whom God is pleased." The angels had returned to heaven. The shepherds said to each other, "Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." They hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in the manger. Today, will you stop ignoring all of the obvious signs? Will you leave what is keeping you? And will you personally find the baby laying in that manger? Y'all stand. Today, as we're standing, are you too busy? Have you ignored the signs? Are you so wrapped up in stress and worry and pressure and all the stuff you're going through? Today, whatever you're involved in and whatever you're going through and whatever you're dealing with, I want to invite you to take your place in the nativity scene. Father God, today, in the midst of all of our stress and all of our schedules and all of our worries about our finances and our health and our businesses and our future, with all of our worries about our kids and what's going to happen, and God, with all of our pressures and stress and worry, today, we look at the signs around us. We hear your voice, and we follow your Holy Spirit as we kneel around that manger. Today, Lord, we experience the peace and the joy that comes from kneeling before you. God, we as a church, we honor you and we worship you this season of the year as we celebrate your entrance into this world and your entrance into our life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
You have been listening to the Christian Ministries Church Weekly Podcast. Join us each week for more messages from CMC.